Hello, world. Welcome once again to Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. I am your host, Louis Patrone. What a week this has been. I think this has been the most inhumane, despicable, disgusting week that I've seen perhaps in my lifetime. I was young for World War II and did not appreciate at that time the Holocaust. I don't know if this compares. I think it does, what's happened this past week, but the numbers weren't there, but who knows. All I know, it was a bad scenario, and I am talking about Mount Sinjar in Afghanistan. But before I get into the dirty details, and they are dirty, they're sordid, they're disgusting. Remember, you can call in and chat with me. The call-in number is 646-478-5731. I repeat, 646-478-5731. I am happy to hear from you. Agree with me, disagree with me, whatever you want to talk about. I'm happy. Okay, here we go. Mount Sinjar is located in Afghanistan. It's in the northern part of, it's in Iraq. Holy my God, what are you thinking about, Louis, Afghanistan? It's in the northern part of Iraq. It's really in Kurdistan. It's near the Syrian border. And there is a religious group. There's a lot of religious groups out there called the Yazidis. That are in Iraq. They're neither Muslim nor are they Christian. There is this new group. You heard of them in the last two or three weeks, the last month, ISIS, ISIS, no longer ISIS. They changed their name this past week to IS, to simply the Islamic State. This is a pretty intelligent, smart group of people. They are Muslims. They want to run the world, not just the Arab world, not just the Middle East. They really are. They're running this like a corporation, like a business, this war they're putting on. They're killing everybody. And what do? They rob banks. Every time they go into it, I'm laughing when I say this, they rob a bank because they went into Mosul, M-O-S-U-L. They control it now. They robbed the bank of something like $420 million. The bank had that kind of money sitting there. They robbed the banks. When they take over a town, they go to the merchants, and they extort them as the mafia used to do. Pay up or we blow up your building or we kill you and your wife. They're picking up money there. People are flocking to fight for them. One of the reasons is they pay their followers. Their soldiers out there on the fighting line are getting paid. They're concerned about their soldiers. They need women. So as they go into these towns and villages and they capture women, they sell them. They sell them to their soldiers for $12, cheap deal, and these women become slaves to them, whether they're old or young girls, 8, 9, 10 years old. So this is a pretty smart operation. They know how they need money. They're making money. They capture, by the way, every time they take over a town, they capture the equipment we left in Iraq. They're using our stuff to fight everyone else over there, our armaments. Okay, now what happened? 10 days ago, the Yazidis are getting killed. So they ran to the top of the mountain called Mount Sinjar, hoping they would be safe up there. And basically, to a certain degree, they are safe up there. But there are problems. Initial reports said there's 30,000 people. Recent reports say 20,000 are already dead. Some reports say there are as many as 150,000 people up there. And most of them are still up there. Some have come down the back way and gone into Syria and then came back into Kurdistan. But it's a mess up there on top. The mountaintop has been described as a mountain of death, a chamber of horrors. And let me tell you why. This, what I'm going to share with you is disgusting. Children are being beheaded if they're Yazidi. They're being crucified or they're being amputated. There's something in the Islamic faith where if a person's considered a devil, you cut off their feet and you cut off their hands. The children are being amputated in this fashion. Women and children alike are being buried alive. All women and young girls are being raped. The husband a father, a man who is married and has children, is compelled in most instances to watch his wife and daughters be raped, and then they cut off his head. Corpses, when they got these dead bodies, they're taking people, they're killing people all over the place. Just like you saw in those World War II Nazi films, they line the people up, the men up of the enemy, as they call them, in a straight line. Then the other, the soldiers, the IS soldiers, get behind them, and they shoot them all in the head. Well, with some of them, they're cutting off the heads of the corpse. After the person's dead, they cut off their head, and they crucify them as a warning to other people that this could happen to you. You get crucified, you get beheaded, and you get shot. A triple whammy. I'm not trying to be funny. Dogs are seen everywhere eating dead bodies. You hear that? Dogs are seen everywhere eating dead bodies. Now, they're willing, people can be alive, stay alive. They tell you, convert from the Yazidi faith to the Muslim faith. Be an Islam. Believe in Islamism. And they got a choice. You convert or you die. I talked in the last several weeks about, you know, convert or be crucified. Well, this goes even a step further. They use any form of killing besides crucifixion. But they don't, you just don't say, okay, I don't believe in the Yazidi religion anymore. I believe in the Muslim religion. I believe in Islamism. Islam, and I agree, and I am converted. They don't take your word. They don't take their word. To prove that they're converted and they're a willing member, soldier of whoever their God is, they must kill a family member. Now, what I'm going to share with you is the worst of the worst. The worst of the worst. There's no food and water on top of this mountain. There is no food and water. You have 30,000 people, almost 2 weeks now, without food and water. It has been reported multiple times that parents are spitting in the mouths of their children, in the mouths of their babies, to provide some liquid. Did you hear me? Parents are spitting in their baby's mouth to provide the baby with some liquid. The United States has come in. We're helping them now. We're sending food and water to these people on top of the mountain. The only trouble is our planes are dumping these things without parachutes from 15,000 feet. Most of the stuff's getting beat up when it hits the ground. We're giving arms to the Kurds. The Kurdistan people are good people. They've always been loyal. They work hard. The soldiers aren't afraid to fight. It's not like the rest of Iraq. We're providing them arms. But what is happening on Mount Sinjar is a humanitarian crisis. I've never heard of anything this disgusting or this bad. And they want to control the world. And if you're a Christian or a Jew, you've had it, Charlie, unless you're going to convert and use the Koran as your Bible the rest of your life. I want to stay with an Arab situation for a moment. I'm moving over to Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia. I don't like Saudi Arabia. I have never liked Saudi Arabia. They got all this money because of the oil. They tell us they're our very best friend for years, and all our presidents say they are our very best friend. And if they are our very best friend, why the hell they keep raising the price of gasoline? They control the operation over there. They could have forced OPEC to bring the price down, but no, they always made it go up. So I don't see where they did anything for us, and how can they be considered our friend? And they don't agree with us on Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria. They're on sites, other sites from where we are right now. Anyhow, people, the people of the Muslim faith who live in Saudi Arabia don't like Christmas. They are anti-Christmas. And the reason they're anti-Christmas, they're anti-Christian. Anti-Christian. In 2012, for example, in the year 2012, they arrested 41 people for plotting to celebrate Christmas. Did you hear me what the crime was? For plotting to celebrate Christmas. Now, our friends, Saudi Arabia, that we give money to, we give things to armaments, we show them how to do things, and they give us stuff. They loan us money. their human rights violations are so bad that they have been compared to the human rights violations that exist in China and Russia. But we keep being their friend, even though they screw us all the time. Is it the oil? I don't know. Because after 2015, we don't need anybody's oil, from what I understand. I don't know what's going on. This is also the same country, to my female listeners, where women still can't drive. They can't drive a car. It's against the religion. I don't understand. These are crazy people. They want to control the world. We've got to pay serious attention to them, because what they're doing in the Middle East now, especially this ISIS group, everybody says, well, they're small, they're Johnny-come-lately, but they're doing it big time. They're doing it altogether different. They're running it like a business. Who knows? And when they say, well, maybe they're going to come over here, you got to listen to them. The leader says he wants to attack the United States. Maybe he's talking through the top of his head. Who knows? All I'm saying, we have real danger there. I'm not saying we got to go invade them. We got to bomb them. We're bombing them already. I don't know what we have to do. But, boy, we got to do something, I think. We can't wait too long and let this thing get out of hand. I don't know, though, what we do. I've got to say that's a tough decision for the president to make. Now I'm going to talk about policemen. We got police brutality at a level we have never seen before in this country. We have police arrogance. Think about the police officers you've met in the last several years. And it used to be a time when the cop was your friend. Hello, hey, how are you? Now they look at you, you know, with squinted eyes. They look at you. Did you do something wrong? They intimidate, or they try to intimidate. Well, this past week, you've read about it, a teenager by the name of Mike Brown, 18 years old, Afro-American, in Ferguson, Missouri. There was some altercation. Cops were involved, two cops. The witnesses, who all happen to be black, and they're being used in a disparaging fashion, the police say, but all the witnesses say, this guy, when he was shot, had his hands up in the air. This Mike Brown. They killed him, by the way. Not just with one bullet, with several. And here it is. I think this was last Saturday this incident occurred. And through tonight, Tuesday night, the police have not yet revealed how many bullets struck this teenager's body. Tensions are high in the community. The black people are demonstrating daytime and nighttime. And unfortunately, they've turned to looting in the evening. Part of the nature right now when you're poor, et cetera, but they're looting and they shouldn't because it doesn't help their position. But that's what's going on there. Excuse me. The police say it's the kid's fault. I don't know with all these witnesses how it can be the kid's fault. The police have not identified yet either the police officer who's involved. Let me tell you why I think things like this are happening. You heard of the guy 2 weeks ago, another black man. He had a chokehold the cops put on him. He died of a heart attack. We have a situation here in Key West. This happened several months ago. Fellow was here on vacation, had a run-in with the police. They had him on the beach, and they pushed his head in the sand. He couldn't breathe. He died. This is under grand jury investigation right now. Here's why I think this is happening. I see more and more of this, or we read about more and more of this. This all goes back to 9/11. Since 9/11, the FBI, the Department of Homeland Security, they tell our police officers, our village, town, city, state police, you are the nation's first line of defense. You are our first line of defense. You are our eyes and ears at the street level because you are there. And I think they've got our policemen all, you know, mentally geared up. Boy, they're important, number one, and we got to do this job because they're told, we are at war. This is war. Not that chasing the criminals, but getting the people who want to blow up our country and so forth. We are at war, and you are our first line of defense. And I just worry. When I was a young lawyer, I used to worry about the police officers. You put a uniform on some guys, not many of them at the time, but it went to their head, the power of wearing the uniform. I think these people are on a kick like that, comparable to it, because they are the first line of defense. But I think they're doing it in a much greater fashion than they did years ago by putting on the uniform. Now, let me show you arrogance also. I'm going to take you now and tell you about Haley Bibbo, a 33-year-old woman. She's in New Hampshire on Route 101 in Newfields, New Hampshire. She's driving east on Route 101. All of a sudden, she has to slam on her brakes to avoid hitting a mother duck and several ducklings. They're, you know, the mother's first, and the kids are walking behind her in a straight line. She did not hit them, all right? She pulled her car off the road into the median. In the center, there was a grass median. The ducks were hit by another car. She called 911 immediately and explained the situation, get the police out here. Some of the ducks have been killed. Then she got out of her car, and there were only two little ducks alive. And she took both of the two little ducks and brought them to her car. Now the police show up, and what do you think they do? They give her a ticket. They give Haley a ticket. And what do they give her a ticket for? This woman who called 911, helped save the ducks, avoided killing one of them herself, and went and saved two that were still in the road. The cars are going by. And they gave her a ticket for parking her car in the median, in the grass median between the two sides of the highway. The police officer told her the median is only for emergencies. He did not consider assisting the ducks as an emergency. I think this guy's arrogant. I think power's gone to his head. Fortunately, Haley Bibbo is fighting this thing. The two ducklings, by the way, because some people are concerned about these things, were taken to a wildlife rescue in Maine. One died, one survived. The typewriter business is up in Germany, big time. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, we use computers today. We use computers to type. The typewriter of yesterday is the computer of today. You open up your computer, bing, 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 you type away, you got letters, you send them out over the Internet, you write books, you do whatever you want. Okay. Before the Internet, we used to type on electric typewriters. And they moved pretty fast. And before electric typewriters, we just had typewriters. I'm talking about it wasn't connected to any power source. There were keys. You hit them, and they hit a piece of paper, and they typed through a cloth ribbon. They typed the letter. And if you needed multiple copies, you used carbon papers, paper rather. And if you made a mistake, they had this little bottle of whiteout that you put on each page and then typed over it when it dried, and no one knew you made a mistake. Those are gone. Those were gone. I'm going to tell you right now, I started practicing law in 1960. No one had a computer yet. Everyone was using electric typewriters. So what I'm talking about, the non-electric typewriter, the first type typewriter, the old-fashioned typewriter, has to be from the 40s and 50s. All right, here we are now in Germany, because typewriter sales are up big time. I'm laughing, in Germany. Because it's our fault, as you'll understand in a moment. And who's buying the typewriters? The German government for their departments, businesses for their operations, and people who have home computers but don't like using them anymore. Why? The reason they're buying typewriters is to avoid the United States of America from spying on them any further. Remember, we did spy on them. Edward Snowden told the whole world. We even bugged Angela Merkel's cell phone. Obama had to call her up and apologize to her. But there's no question that we bugged a lot of what's going on in the German government, German businesses. And they don't want to put up with this anymore. They're fearful of being bugged. So two major typewriting companies have said that in the last 2 years, business in Germany is up dramatically. One of the companies is called Bandermann, named after its owner, Bandermann. And Banderman put on YouTube video last year this advertisement, and it brought him a ton of business. He said, my machines are bug-proof and NSA-proof. That's us, the NSA, are bug-proof and NSA-proof. I want to move now to Indianapolis. Indianapolis, there is a gentleman in Indianapolis. How do I put this? God is good. I got to say it that way. God is good. God bless this man. What happened to him? He bought two separate $1 million lottery tickets, 3 months apart, and won on them. In other words, this man won $2 million, one today, one 3 months from now. And he bought one at a convenience store, another one at some gas station or something on a highway. They weren't even the lottery-type ticket. It was the scratch-off where you had scratch numbers off with a coin. And this man won $2 million, but separately, 3 months apart. Name's Robert Hamilton, and I say, God bless him. God bless America. I'm thrilled for this guy, and I'm sure you are, too. This is a sad situation. Very sad situation. There's a gentleman in Birmingham, Alabama, 56 years old. He had an operation. He went in the hospital to be circumcised. You do get circumcised sometimes at an old age. He's 56. I'll be frank. I was circumcised at 42. I know how it's done. I did go into an operating room, but I was awake for the whole thing. They gave me several shots of Novocaine in the head of my penis. I felt no pain. The urologist, the doctor doing the circumcision, was my buddy. We played golf together. And we talked for the whole 20 minutes it took to circumcise me. And all they do is they cut that piece of flesh away. This is hanging flesh that they just cut away. And they take their time doing it. Well, this guy they knocked out. And when he woke up, his penis was gone. He went in for a circumcision. And remember this, too, especially those of you that are younger. The desire and ability isn't gone at 42 or 56. For some people, it runs into the 80s. God is good again. Desire is there in senior citizens also. Maybe not as good as in younger days, but desire exists. This guy's got a hell of a lawsuit. I'm sure he didn't want it. It's a disaster. The hospital says we didn't do anything wrong. Now, I don't know how they're going to defend this. They don't make any claims. The thought is they're going to say he had cancer. Well, I don't know how they even determine the cancer because they don't send the tissue from the skin out till after the surgery to be tested. They don't cut into the penis to take anything out when they're doing a circumcision. Circumcision is a basic, simple, routine thing. They do it on babies. It's just a bigger piece of flesh on an adult. If you're in the Army and it's wartime and you get an infection there, they circumcise you in a battlefield hospital and bandage you up and send you out to fight again, same day, same time. So I don't know what went wrong here. Something went wrong, but this poor guy, they cut off his penis. I'm going to talk about food for a few minutes here. Food. What's going on in this country with our food? Because we got to be careful. We're getting poisoned slowly. Don't believe me. Get on the Internet and read about this stuff. First of all, I'm going to talk about something. I may pronounce it wrong, but it's called ractopamine. Let's see. Ractopamine. R-A-C-T-O-P-A-M-I-N-E. It's something that is put into pig feed, okay, and it makes the pigs grow fatter and grow fatter quicker. So you don't have to spend as much money raising them. And this gives the meat producer an opportunity to make a better dollar. The only trouble is this stuff's supposed to be bad shit. That's the only way I can describe it. There are 180 countries in this world of ours, 180 countries. 160 of the countries ban this chemical that's used in pig production. They ban it, 160 out of 180. All the countries in the Euro Union ban it. Russia bans it. And even China, that bans nothing and contaminates their people all the time, ban it. It's used with 60 to 80% of the pork product that ends up in the supermarkets that we buy. Now, why in this country are we permitting it? Didn't we test? Well, we have the Federal Drug Administration. They check all this stuff, the FDA. They have to approve something before they permit it to go into any type of animal to make it grow faster and everything else. And they ran a test. They make people wait years to use a product. In this instance, they ran one study, one test. They did it with six young, healthy men. They actually introduced this stuff into the guys. One dropped out because his heart was racing and pounding. But based on this test, the FDA approved the use of ractopamine in pigs to make them grow faster and fatter. That's all. One study, six people, one dropped out. And when they approved it, they did give a warning. They did give a warning. And the warning was it could injure or fatigue the pigs. Had nothing, the warning had nothing to do with humans. Could injure or fatigue the pigs. And there have been studies now, and approximately 250,000 pigs a year in this country get adverse results from this chemical and die. Why do they let them use it? Now, I'm going to tell you something else that's very interesting about food. You're not going to believe this. With certain foods we are eating, 30% of the food is wood. You heard me. 30% of the food we eat is wood. They call it cellulose. It's wood pulp. And what it does is it gives bulk to what you're eating. Example, McDonald's uses this stuff, by the way. Burger King, Taco Bell. It's in buns, cheese, sauces, cakes, French fries. And what's the story here? The price of meat keeps going up. You know it and I know it. Well, these fast food chains can't keep, nor can the supermarkets, raise the prices constantly. So what they do is they take the cellulose, the wood pulp, and they add it to the beef mix, for example, and it ends up that 30% of the burgers we're eating and a lot of the hamburger meat we buy in supermarkets contains wood pulp. Now, the FDA says, who approved this pig chemical with one test on six guys, the FDA says, no problem. It is not injurious to health. Use it. I don't understand. We're eating wood. They don't even tell us we're eating wood. I have to tell you we're eating wood. It can't be right. It can't be good. It can't be healthy. I'm going to tell you something else I came across concerning food very quickly. Tuna fish. We all buy tuna in the can, and we want real tuna, white tuna, right? Well, let me tell you about the tuna you buy in the can in the supermarket that's got the best labels on it. It's not all tuna. It's not all white meat. And this cut, what I'm talking about, covers 59% of the tuna in the United States, sold in the United States. The fish that they use is not tuna, but escolar, E-S-C-O-L-A-R. And they've been getting away with it. And the reason is, when they switched from tuna to escolar, because the price of tuna was going up, they could save 30% by using escolar. That's why. But here's what this does. So if you ever get sick after you eat tuna something, or a tuna fish sandwich, it's because of this. And there's something in this escalar that causes prolonged, uncontrollable oil anal leakage. You're going to have oil coming out of your butt if you ever do after eating tuna. That is why. Well, that's my show for this week. I'm coming into my last minute. I hope you've enjoyed. I thank you for joining me. This show is archived immediately. You can read it on Black Talk Radio forever. It's on YouTube also, and you will find it on Key West Lou. You go to my site, keywestlou.com, where you read my blog, and up on top there's Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. You hit it, and up comes how you can get into my show any date you want. And the show is there. Try listening to it sometime if you miss. I also write a book, as you know, The World Upside Down. I wrote a book, The World Upside Down. I'm working on another one growing up Italian, which I hope to get off by the end of the year, which will be terrific. But The World Upside Down, if you enjoy the show, you will enjoy The World Upside Down. If you do not enjoy the show, you will not enjoy my book. Don't buy it. If you are interested in purchasing the book, it's on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. That's it, folks. See you next week.